Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, July 23rd, 2016, and this is show number 56.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad. Today I want to talk to you about the presidential election coming up in less than 4 months. Presidential election 2016. And I want to talk very seriously and in depth about the dilemma that we as Christians face with the question of whether or not to vote for one of the two primary candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I know that most of you who are listening are planning to vote for Donald Trump because in your perception he is the lesser of two evils, but I want to let you know that I know of at least a few people who feel the opposite. They will be voting for Hillary Clinton because they feel that she is the lesser of two evils, and both groups feel that the other group is crazy, that you got to be kidding me. And yet this is the reality, and so we've got your opinion, we've got their opinion, we've got my opinion. But I'm hopeful to the fruit of this broadcast, I am so hopeful that this will provide an environment for you to think perhaps a little bit more deeply than you've thought about this subject. And so before I get to the election itself, before I get to Trump and Clinton, I want to introduce today's broadcast by introducing you to a man by the name of Niccolo Machiavelli. Maybe you have heard of Machiavelli or a Machiavellian style of leadership. It was originated by this man who wrote the book The Prince back in the early 1600s, 1515. And he espoused an approach to politics completely removed from morality. His approach to politics was amoral, without morality, without ethics, no right or wrong. He was he believed in the ends justifying the means. In fact, the way he put it, and I've got several quotes here from that book, The Prince, and by the way, if you want to be a good steward of this year's election, I'm going to be suggesting that you read two books today, and this is the first. Again, it's entitled The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli, and you can access that anywhere on the Internet, Amazon. It's readily available. But Machiavelli, in this book, he said, quote, "One must consider the final result." He was a big believer that virtually any means necessary was valid to achieve one's goal. What is right is whatever means are necessary to achieve the goal. Just several quotes from Machiavelli. First one, "Politics have no relation to morals." Politics, according to Machiavelli, have no relation to morals. He said, "A prince," and I'm from here on out, I'm gonna use leader as synonymous to prince. "A leader never lacks legitimate reason to break his promise." Why? Because the ends justify the means. He said, "The promise given was a necessity of the past. The word broken is a necessity of the present." Again, why? Because whatever means are necessary to accomplish the goal that you have is deemed acceptable and even right. He went on to say, "A wise ruler ought never to keep faith when by doing so it would be against his interests." Very important statement there as we consider the two primary candidates for this year's presidential election here in the United States. "A wise ruler ought never to keep faith when by doing so, it would be against his interests." Why am I reading from Machiavelli? Well, it's very clear to me by the actions of both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton that they are intimately familiar with the writings of Machiavelli. I see Machiavellian leadership in both of them permeating both of their approaches to politics. Machiavelli went on to say this, and let me ask you humbly and sincerely and gently, could this apply to you? He said, men are so simple and so much inclined to obey immediate needs that a deceiver will never lack victims for his deceptions. Yes, I'll say that again. He said, men are so simple and so much inclined to obey immediate needs that a deceiver will never lack victims for his deceptions. And you know, that's something that I've seen very sadly, that the vast majority of us, all we care about is our comfort. Do we perceive that they will run the country in such a way that will be in my best interests? And if we perceive be so, then that's good enough for me. He went on to say, Machiavelli that is, men are so simple and yield so readily to the desires of the moment that he who will trick will always find another who will suffer to be tricked. And then he finally said on this subject, one who deceives will always find those who will allow themselves to be deceived. He said as well, it is necessary for a leader wishing to hold his own to know how to do wrong and to make use of it or not according to necessity. Isn't that a fascinating approach to leadership? Isn't that an interesting approach to politics? To be intimately familiar with the ability, have the ability to do wrong and to do it, to make use of it, as Machiavelli said, or not, just depending on the need of the moment. A couple other quotes from Machiavelli's book, The Prince, that I think are important for you to be aware of as we approach this year's presidential election. He said, merciful, faithful, humane, upright, and religious, it is unnecessary for a leader to have all these good qualities that I just enumerated, but it is very necessary to appear to have them. Wow. Merciful, faithful, humane, upright, religious. It's unnecessary, Machiavelli says, for a leader to have these qualities, but what is very necessary is to appear to have these qualities. And then he explains why, and I think his explanation is brilliant. I wholeheartedly agree with his assessment. He says, there's nothing more necessary than to appear religious, inasmuch as men generally judge more by the eye than by the hand. Everyone sees what you appear to be. Few really know what you are, and those few dare not oppose themselves to the opinion of the many. It's driven me crazy over 30 plus years of ministry, that no matter what I say to people, they're still going to believe what they hear. I cry out from the rooftops, don't trust what I say, believe what you see me do. Don't trust the words, trust the actions. And yet time and time again, it's just human nature, I suppose, that people are content with what others say. I asked, why are you going to vote for so-and-so? Well, because of this, that, and the other. Why do you believe this, that, and the other? Well, that's what they said. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be better than that. We've got to be better than that. We've got to learn to let others' actions tell us who they are. Having mentioned Machiavelli and bringing it more modern, it's very well known that Hillary Clinton's mentor, ever since she was in college, was a guy by the name of Saul Alinsky. And he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, which is simply an expansion on what Machiavelli wrote. Alinsky was huge on the ends justifies the means. And I want to read a few passages, a few quotes from this man, Saul Alinsky, who greatly admired Satan. He quoted, or he didn't quote him, he dedicated the book there in the front part to Lucifer. And so he says, all effective action requires the passport of morality. Sound familiar? Very much what Machiavelli espoused. He said, all effective action requires the passport of morality. He gives several rules for the ethics of the ends and means, or the ends justify the means. His 10th rule was this. The 10th rule of the ethics of means and ends is that you do what you can and with what you have and clothe it in moral garments. And so this concept that Machiavelli talked about, that the vast majority aren't going to look at what you do, they're simply going to trust what you say. Therefore, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, make sure you clothe it in morality. Alinsky went on to say in his book, ethical standards must be elastic to stretch with the times. Now, isn't that interesting? That's exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches. That's exactly the opposite of what Jesus modeled. That's exactly the opposite of who God is, and it is exactly the opposite of who we as Christians should be. Jesus said, Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else is evil. So I'm not judging Alinsky here. God is judging Alinsky. His word is judging Alinsky. Jesus is judging Alinsky. Alinsky says that ethical standards need to be elastic and stretch with that evil. Jesus calls that evil. So any leader who uses this technique is using an evil technique. They are practicing evil. Alinsky goes on to say, the third rule of the ethics of means and ends is that in war, the end justifies almost any means. And I want to suggest to you that I see this clearly in the words of Donald Trump, having just come off of the Republican National Convention. I've seen it for years in the words of Hillary Clinton. How do I know this? Why am I so bold about this? Because I look at their actions. And when a man or a woman's words are just the opposite, 180 degrees opposite of their action, then we know that this ends justifies the means is in play. So with that as an introduction, and again, I want to recommend highly, I want to be so bold as to challenge you. If you're a professing Christian, you name the name of Jesus, you believe that you're a saved, born-again follower of Jesus Christ, well, then you also believe that it's important to be a good steward of what you have. And within that context, it is to be a good steward of this vote, you need to have as much knowledge as you can. And I want to challenge you, you need to read both of those books, The Prince by Machiavelli and Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. And before I continue, there's this terrible misnomer, this bad theology out there that says, based on Romans 13, that you know what, God's going to do what God's going to do. Whoever winds up in office is what God's best was, what God's will is. And it's based on a misinterpretation of Romans chapter 13. Let me read Romans 13. Says every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And that's been misinterpreted to mean that whoever is in office is there because God put them there. No, that's not what it's referring to. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. I'm just reading back in Hosea chapter 8, verse 4, where God himself says, they've set up kings, but not by me. They've appointed princes, but I didn't know it. I wasn't aware of it. You see, what Romans 13 is saying is that there is no authority except from God. The authority structure, the governmental structure of authority is set up by God. And those which exist, those authority structures, have been established by God. But my goodness, you go through the Bible, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you see good kings and bad kings, and you see that people want to do it their own way, and God goes ahead and gives them over to that depraved mind and leanness of the soul as a result. And so it's not by any stretch of the imagination that all individuals who are in positions of authority or leadership have been put there by God. They may have been put there by God either for blessing or for judgment, as the Bible is clear, but it's not necessarily. Man has freedom of choice, man has freedom of will, and whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So let me ask you a few questions. I want to address kind of a common theme that I see in the evangelical world, because I see many, many people lining up behind Donald Trump, including Christian college presidents and well-known religious leaders and the like. So you say you're going to vote for Donald Trump because he's the lesser of two evils, right? That's basically where you're coming from. It's where many are coming from. You're going to vote for Donald Trump because you think he is the lesser of two evils. You say you're going to vote for Donald Trump because at least he's better than Hillary Clinton, right? Is that where you're coming from? Is that, does that kind of sum up your posture? Well, I want to challenge you on something. How do you know? Where do you get your information? From where do you draw your conclusion that that Donald Trump is better than Hillary Clinton? Have you actually studied him, his actions over the years, as perhaps you have with Hillary Clinton? I know that Hillary Clinton has her life has been more out there in the public in the last several years. Have you looked when they say, well, Donald Trump is a great family man? Have you looked at that? Have you studied that? Is that something you draw your own conclusions from, or are you drawing your conclusions about that from the Republican National Convention and the talking heads of CNN or Fox News? I want to challenge that. You say, well, Donald Trump, at least he's a Christian. And again, I would challenge, why do you say that? Why do you say Donald Trump is a Christian? And your answer, well, he says he is. Well, Hillary Clinton says she's a Christian. They both say they're Christians. You know what my response to that is, just frankly? You got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me, oh professing Christian. If your assessment of Donald Trump and or Hillary Clinton are that they're Christians, let me challenge you on what basis, on whose authority, anybody can call themselves a Christian. The Bible says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. I want to suggest to you that it would do you well if you honestly believe for a minute that Donald Trump is a Christian, if you honestly believe for a minute that Hillary Clinton is a Christian, oh, I just want to encourage you in the strongest possible way. Do some research on that and take a look at their actions over the years. Take a look at their actions over the last week, much less the last month. And just make sure that you're being a good steward of what it is that you say you believe and why you're going to be voting for whoever you're going to vote for. Because I want to suggest to you that voting for the lesser of two evils, which has become so popular in modern days, that voting for the lesser of two evils is to say that the ends does justify the means. Just like Machiavelli. Just like Saul Alinsky, just like Hillary Clinton's mentor, the end justifies the means is when we say, I'm going to do this even though it's bad, but I'm doing it for the sake of some other goal that is better. So in other words, you're saying, if that's what you're saying, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because I don't want Hillary Clinton in the White House. So even though I know Donald Trump is evil in his own right, or his actions are evil in his own right, I'm still going to vote for him because of a greater goal. You know what? I want to challenge you that you're perpetuating the very evil that you're trying to prevent. Let me say that again. Oh God, will you give us eyes to see here, please? Oh God, will you give us minds to be able to think like we've never thought before? Give us the ability, Father. I'm thinking of Psalm 119, verse 20. Open our eyes to see new things from your word. Again, I want to say that if you're going to vote for someone because it's a lesser of two evils, I'm arguing that you're perpetuating the very evil that you're trying to prevent. Let me say this. Listen carefully, please. To vote for evil because it's less evil is to vote for evil nonetheless. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? Take Hillary Clinton out of it. If you're planning on voting for Donald Trump, take Hillary Clinton out of it. Eliminate her. You are voting for Donald Trump, period. You're going to be held accountable for that stewardship. To vote for evil because it is less evil is still to vote for evil. And is not voting for evil, because it's less evil, the ends justifying the means? And is not the ends justify the means the very principle upon which Hillary Clinton has based her entire career? If you've studied her at all, you know this to be true from her college days, from her earliest days in public office. She has based her life upon this principle that the ends justify the means, the principle that she learned from her mentor, Saul Alinsky, and that he in turn got from Niccolo Machiavelli. I want to suggest to you that to vote for Donald Trump because you don't want Hillary Clinton to be the president is to exemplify the very reason why God must bring judgment to the United States of America. Yeah? Yeah, you heard me right. Must? Yes, God must. Let me say it again for clarity. I want to suggest that to vote for Donald Trump because you don't want Hillary Clinton to be the president, or vice versa, is to exemplify the very reason why God must bring judgment to the United States of America. And I know someone might be thinking, and I hope you are, hey, Pastor Brad, what about 2 Chronicles 7:14? What about 2 Chronicles 7:14? What about the story of Nineveh in the Bible? Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you for those of you who don't know that passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Yeah, true enough. Let me just comment a little bit about that verse. First of all, it's fascinating and significant and instructive. God's talking about his people, not the general populace, but he says, if my people who are called by my name, so he's talking to you, O professing Christian, if you, those of you who profess to know Jesus, if you will humble yourselves and pray. Yeah, that's good. That could happen. Let's use you as an example. Is your prayer life indicative of a life that would warrant the withholding of judgment from the United States of America? Or are you expecting it to be my prayer life? Whose prayer life are you talking about? When you quote, when you say, what about 2 Chronicles 7:14, are you using yourself as an example? Have you been for the last many years humbling yourself in prayer and seeking God's face? And a part of the context there is turning from your wicked ways. Let me use you as an example. Does your lifestyle warrant a withholding of God's judgment from this country because of the righteousness that is exemplified by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Let me ask you this. Is your Christianity, O professing Christian, the Christianity of Jesus, the Christ, who said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself? Let me ask you, let's use you as an example. Are you right now living a life of self-denial, thus indicative of a follower of Christ? How is your self-denial warranting the withholding of judgment of God from this country? If any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Is that what you've been doing? Is your life, let's use you as an example, are you living a life of crucifixion of the flesh with its passion and desires? Are you taking up your cross daily, as Jesus said his followers would, to a way that would warrant the withholding of judgment of God against this country? If you are, praise the Lord. But I want to suggest to you that the reason we're in a position where we simply have two candidates for president that, in my opinion, are an absurd and exaggerated manifestation that we have reached a point in time where God's hands are tied and he's going to move this country in a different direction. I'll say more about that in a minute. But I want to tell you that American Christianity is the problem, because American Christianity is not Christianity at all. There is an eternal difference between American Christianity and biblical Christianity, and American Christianity doesn't save. American Christianity won't deliver this country. The Bible is clear, Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And I want to tell you that it is my belief that the wind of national sin, specifically unbelief, and the practical rejection of God by professing Christians like me and you is now going to begin to reap the whirlwind of God's loving hand of judgment. I hear all the time, oh, we got to pray. Yeah. 8 years ago, we got to pray. September 11th, 2001, we got to pray. What is it about now that's different than September 12th, 2011? Did you know that one of the men in the Bible with the greatest hearts for his people was a guy by the name of Jeremiah? Nobody loved his people more than he did. He was known as the weeping prophet because he just cared so deeply. And do you know that there came a time in the history of Israel where Jeremiah went to God, as he so often did over the years, praying for the people? And in Jeremiah 7:16, and again in Jeremiah 11:14, and again the third time in Jeremiah 14:11, God said the most amazing thing to Jeremiah. He said, stop. Stop, Jeremiah. Stop wasting your breath. It's time for judgments. Your prayers now are going to be replaced my hand. And so I've been asked the question, what can we do? Because I believe that the 2016 presidential election has already been decided. I believe that God has already appointed Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States. He's appointed her unto judgment. But as he did in the Old Testament with various kings, when a country was in need of repentance and would not repent on their own, when they were in need of discipline and a return to God, but they would not return on their own, in the fullness of time, the Bible teaches, in the fullness of time, God says, you know what? Time is up. I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to bring judgment to that country for the sake of love. Yes. Believe it or not, because of the grandeur of God's love, there comes a time, whether it be an individual's life, that he goes ahead and he judges that individual or country. And let me tell you how I understand this to work. Why is it love? Well, the judgment is going to bring about persecution of God's people. And the persecution of God's people is going to result in the purification of God's people. And once God's people are purified, they will again be the light of the world. And the world, the earth, will again know the light of true Christianity and thereby the true love of Jesus Christ. It's spoken about in Hebrews, sometimes the only way we can learn obedience is through our suffering. You see, comfort typically doesn't get the job done. And we have become comfortable as a country, complacent as a country. And I'm talking about the church. You know that the statistics inside the church are no different than the statistics in the world with regard to sin and rebellion. I mentioned before that the fundamental sin of the United States of America is unbelief that has resulted in the practical. You see, there's this wrong thinking that when we say, when Jesus said, he who believes has eternal life, that somehow that means all I have to do is say it. Oh, I believe. Or somehow all I have to do is think it. Oh, I think Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. No, to think is not to believe, as someone recently said to me. To think is not to believe. To do is belief. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. Faith without action is delusion, and we got a country of professing Christians who are deluded. They've entered into a politically correct mindset that is reaping the whirlwind of judgment right now, and it's going to greatly increase beginning with this next presidential election. As I said, excuse me, God's love is going to bring persecution to this country, persecution to the Christians. And as a result, it's going to greatly purify the church, and the cream will rise to the top, so to speak, and once again, true Christians will become the light of the world. And so there's the fundamental question that you are asking, perhaps, that I want to address. And that is, what are you saying to do, Pastor Brad, right now? Well, as far as the vote, I mean, that's up to you. I mean, that's going to be your call. There are multiple candidates that you can vote for, and I encourage you to vote for who God would lead you to vote for based on your own research, based on a decision that has come to you by your own conclusions. Please, for God's sake, do not vote for someone because of my opinion or because of anybody else's opinion. What you do, do so because you've drawn your own conclusion. And I want to challenge you. I do want to say strongly, be a good steward. Don't listen to what I say. Watch what I do. Don't listen to what the... Do not believe. Come on. Come on, seriously. Don't think that Donald Trump represents you because of what he says. Don't think that Hillary Clinton represents you because of what she says. Do I need to go back and refresh your mind about the Machiavellian style of amoral leadership that is at play in both of their lives? Obvious to me. I've seen it in the church. I've seen it in the church. People are so easily duped. Calls you and I to be like the Bereans. Go ahead and receive the word. Okay, Trump says this. Okay, Hillary says that. Now I'm going to do the research to see if what they're saying is true. What can you do, dear brother, dear sister? Repent is what you can do, and it's what you need to do. You know, God could do a miracle. He could do a miracle. But if you're asking me the question, what should I do practically? What you should do practically is repent. Repent of what? Repent of your unbelief. Repent of putting your trust in a lesser of two evils rather than putting your trust in God. That is something that needs to be repented of. Repent of your American Christianity, which is no Christianity at all. Repent and return to biblical Christianity. Return to biblical Christianity. How do you do that? Well, you first start by reading your Bible. Reading your Bible is going to change you. Spending time in prayer and reading your Bible and meditating on it is going to change you. It's going to move you in the direction of seeing as God sees. Because right now, so many of you are not seeing as God sees. You're seeing as Fox News sees. You're seeing as CNN sees. You're seeing as your family sees. You're seeing through the eyes of your own comfort. You're seeing through the eyes of your own ambition. And you need to repent of that. You're asking me, what should I do now? Repent of that and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Repent of this Americanized, cult-like belief system that we call Christianity that has nothing to do with the Jesus of Christianity. Repent, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Repent and deny yourself and follow Jesus. Repent of your comfort. Take up your cross. Repent of your own will and live for God's will. Stop building your own kingdom and start investing in God's kingdom. That's what you can do, and that is what I call you to do today in Jesus' name. Oh, God, most important right now, I believe, is this prayer. Father, I ask that whatever of this broadcast has been of you, that you would multiply it. That you would magnify it, that you would glorify it in Jesus' name. Whatever has not been of you, I pray that you would rebuke it, that you would reprove it, that you would remove it, that it would absolutely dissipate like morning dew. And, oh, God, I cry out to you for those that are listening to this broadcast, for those that are professing Christians and have believed that it's somehow the right thing to do to vote for evil, because the ends justify the means. Oh, God, would you send your kindness to lead us to repentance, that renewal might come, the refreshing might come, that in the days follow, that the days of judgment would be shortened, and that the day of redemption be hastened. These things I pray to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.